Unto you, God, we thank you for this opportunity to be here. God, let us be spiritually enriched and encouraged in you, God, that we would leave here, God, feeling better, God, about who we are in you. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do and all that you are, God, in us and through us. We love you and praise you and thank you. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we ask it and believe it to be done. Of the good of Jesus, and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, and all he has done for me, well, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, well, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. Of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, well, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me.
Oh, when Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. I'll never forget, no, never. Done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. Oh, I cannot tell it all. He's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. He has taken my sin all away. Well, he's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. Oh, I cannot tell it all. He's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. He has taken my sin all away.
We're going to sing that a few more times. And Brother Mike, if you grab an offering plate, we'll give you an opportunity to greet one another and worship with your wallet. And as we sing this just a few more times, go ahead and greet one another and give unto the Lord.
Of the goodness of Jesus, and all he has done for me, will my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. Well, he's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. He's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. He has taken my sins away. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, well, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, well, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Praise God for saving me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible tells us it's because of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Oh, but for the goodness of Jesus. I'm thankful that he's a good, good father as we sing around here. That's who he is. That's who you are. You're a good, good father. The next song says, when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. It makes me want to shout. I've said it before, I'll say it again. My praise is a demonstration of my appreciation. When I think about the Lord and what he's done for me. Can we sing this together? When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me wanna shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. It makes me wanna shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me to the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me wanna shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. That right now, can you lift your voice in the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for healing me, God. Thank you for saving me, God. Thank you for filling me with the power of the Holy Ghost, God. Lord, I lift my voice in praise unto you, God.
and give you glory and honor, acclamation unto you, Jesus, for you are worthy of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How wonderful you are. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Do want to remind you, a special day upcoming this Sunday, regularly scheduled service, 10 a.m., but then in the evening time, we invite you out to our residence, 803 North Castle Street, and beginning about 5 o'clock, we're going to eat probably quarter to six, 6 o'clock, but the party's going to kick off, if you will, at 5 o'clock, and then go late into the evening, I'm sure, after the fireworks have been displayed over the fairgrounds. You're able to stay as long as you'd like. I will go to bed eventually, but if you want to stay out in the yard, that's fine. We just want to have a good time together. Please remember your admission into the festivities, if you will. It's just simply a side dish, a shareable dish, if you will. And then if you want to bring something to drink, we'd ask that you would bring some to share. We will have like waters and iced tea and that sort of stuff there. But if you want something other than that, please feel free to bring some drinks. I know some of you do anyhow, and that's perfectly all right. Please bring a lawn chair. We will have tables set up. The tent is up. It was put up today, so the tent's out there ready. So all we need is you and your family and friends. This is a great time to invite others out to have a great time. We're going to have some fun, some games, some activities. Obviously, there'll be plenty of stuff for the kids, big playground, bounce house, zip line, tree house, you know, all the fun stuff that is the backyard at the Wells Place. Most importantly, we want you there. We want you, your family, and your friends to come and join us in celebration of our families, our freedom, and we'll watch a little bit of fireworks. And so we'll have a good time together on Sunday evening beginning at 5 o'clock. We're going to take some needs of the Lord in prayer. I know that Sister Janie Kellum would covet your prayers and her continued recovery from her knee surgery. I also asked, there's a man that is a part of the crew that's working in Indiana where I'm supervising a job. And he got a call, I believe it was yesterday morning, about 4:45 in the morning, that his older brother had been in a bad vehicle accident. His brother's name is Mark. Mark is presently on life support. He's in a medically induced coma because there's swelling on the brain. The doctors don't give much hope of there being an optimistic outcome in his situation. And obviously, it's upset Will, the guy who's there working. And I prayed with him on a couple of occasions about it. But I told him that we would bind together and pray as a church tonight on behalf of his brother Mark. And so I would ask that you would help us pray concerning that. Anybody else have a request you'd like to make? No, Sister Christy, I saw your hand. Goodness. All right. Sister Angie, then I'll come to you. Sister Angie. All right, certainly. Remember, this is Gary. All right, certainly. So I know there will be quite a few that are traveling. I know some are traveling here from the church. Chrissiera, her family also. Michelle, Colin traveling. Sister D. Yes. All right. Let's pray you don't have to cut it off. Amen. let's also please remember my mother-in-law is en route with our children, and they left a little bit earlier this afternoon, so they'll be traveling through the night. And so certainly want God's traveling mercies upon them, and I want my kiddos back. So I'm looking forward to seeing them upon their return. So why don't you stand? Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Jesus, we love you. We thank you that we can come to you with these needs, cares, and concerns of our lives, God, whether it be those that are traveling, God, those dealing with a medical issue, God. Those that are in need of your healing touch, Lord, we cry out unto you on behalf of family members and loved ones, God, dealing with tragedy and loss. God, we know that you're a strength and you're a help. We lift up Sister Janie Kellum before you in prayer, God, believing and trusting in your help, speedy recovery, God. Give her peace and, Lord, let it be pain-free, God. Let her to experience your help and your strength in this time, God. I pray for this man, Mark, God, who I don't know, Lord, but I pray, God, that you would raise him up, you'd restore him, God, give will, peace of mind in dealing with the situation, God, as they make decisions going forward, God. Speak peace of their heart and to their life, God, for Andrew and the situation there. Lord, we know that you're a healer, God, and you're a help. Lord, for those that are traveling upon the roads, God, let your angels encamp around about them, keep them safe, God, bring them back to us, God, that we could enjoy our time together. Lord, we pray for this weekend, God, that you would bring hearts and souls, God, that we would have opportunity to connect with them and break bread with them, God, and be an impact and influence upon their lives. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you and pray concerning these things, knowing, God, that you desire to work in us and through us, God, to see your will fulfilled on earth as it is in heaven. We love you, Jesus, and we praise you. We thank you. We magnify your name that is above every name. Lord, we give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do in your name that is above every name. In the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Everybody said amen. I bless you for standing. You may be seated. I guess I'll have to go back there and put it up on the screen myself. Hold on 1 second. We are going to launch out into a new study. This is not to say that we are not going to answer questions if they are submitted to the box back there. That's something that we'll do. We'll keep back there for a time being, and as more questions come in, we may take a few Wednesday nights and address those questions as need be. But I kind of want to launch out into a new study, a field direction concerning this. I've entitled it Transition. The process of changing, this is the definition of transition in case you don't know, the process of changing from one state or condition to another. Transition in the sense of what we deal with in our daily lives, a lot of times we deal with transition. There's forced transitions. There's things that we bring upon ourselves in the sense of transition, things that we willingly do in the sense of transition. And it's simply the process or the condition of changing the state or condition. How do we do that? How do we transition from one state or one condition to another? Hopefully, in our walk in relationship with God, the Bible talks about that we are changed into his image from glory unto glory. In other words, it should be in the heart of a believer that we are experiencing transition in our walk in relationship with God, that we are growing, that we are maturing, that we are, in a sense, that we're changing from one state or condition to another, that we are becoming more involved in the things of God and the kingdom of God, that we are doing more for the kingdom of God today than we did yesterday. We are transitioning forward. We want to see new things and have new things. But there's also transition in simple living, in our daily lives. We deal with transition. Some of us are in charge of transition. That's a part of what we do is we facilitate transition. We facilitate growth, or we facilitate moving from one particular state to another. And so I want to talk about it in the sense of not only from a spiritual aspect, but maybe even from a relational aspect. How do we transition? Transitions are not always easy. Transitions sometimes are things that we avoid because we know there's sometimes an uncomfortability that comes with transitioning. And unfortunately, sometimes we remain in places and in states or conditions, if you will, that we shouldn't. That we should have transitioned from, but we didn't, or we haven't. And for whatever reason, the transition that has needed to happen hasn't happened. The change, the condition that we should now be in, we're not in because we remain in a previous condition. We remain in a previous state. And so that's where I want to go with this study. But I want to look at it maybe from a little different aspect. I want to pay particular attention to this passage of Scripture. It's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. You look at this passage, you understand that many believe the writer of Ecclesiastes to be King Solomon in the wise sayings. You see that he is talking about transition. He's talking about going from one season or one time or one place or one condition, however you want to say it, from one to another. And though we are dealing in this sense, if you will, opposites. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to sow, a time to rend. Time to plant, time to uproot. So he's dealing with the transition of one state to another. And I believe, and I hope you'll understand through scriptures, that I believe it is God's intention that we are transitioning, that we are in the process of being changed, that I am not who I am today, or I am not the same person I am today that I was yesterday. That I have transitioned, that I have grown in my walk and relationship with God. And so we're gonna look at it in that sense, but here's lesson one, and here's the title. Here's what I want to get at. Yes, sir. Okay, I can have Brother Mike do it. Probably pull it down a little bit. Not a problem. We can have it. Is that better? Still too high? Okay. Lesson one, good begins where bad ends. The point of this is sometimes in order for us to experience the good that God wants for us, what we're doing and what we're a part of and what we're continuing in has to stop. If we're going to grow and if we're going to mature, if we're going to experience the potential that God wants us to experience, we have got to transition. And we've got to have the faith to believe that good is going to result because I'm going to be able to pinpoint and I'm going to be able to find those things that need to stop. Those activities, those behaviors, those things that maybe I'm involved in my life that are not conducive to my growing. They are not leading me into a transition into good things. They are keeping me in a state of complacency or stagnation in my spirituality. And so those things have to stop. And I understand that the good will begin when the bad ends. When I finally put a stop to some things and I have what I would call, and we're going to look at a lot, a necessary ending. I realize some things have to stop. If the good is going to happen that I need to have happen in my life, then the bad has to stop. I have to transition from the bad that is to the good that will be. And so that's essentially what I want to get at. I want to talk about some necessary endings, some understanding that the good will begin when the bad ends. Transitions, while often not easy, are essential for growth. If I'm going to grow, I've got to learn to transition. And they're not easy. Many times they are difficult. Many times they do put us in uncomfortable situations. Many times it's easier, if you will, to just remain where we are, but the reality is we will not grow and we will not experience the good that God has for us if we do not transition, if we do not end the bad so that the good can begin. If we don't decide, okay, it ends now, it stops. And if I stop it, then I know when I stop the bad, the good is going to start. What does not transition forward stagnates and reverts back. There's a law in nature. It's called the law of thermodynamics. And it essentially states that anything left to itself without any force or anything causing it to change into something better, anything that is just left to itself will corrode, will eventually rust, if you will. Any law of thermodynamics is, and I know I'm oversimplifying the law of thermodynamics, but it simply states that anything left to itself will disorganize and destruct. And we've got to realize that same natural law will apply in our walk in relationship with God. If I am not actively working at transitioning and growing in my walk in relationship with God, I've said it many, many, many times, backsliding begins where I stop growing. Say that again. Backsliding begins where I stop growing. And if I'm not transitioning and I'm not finding ways to grow in my walk in relationship with God, and I'm not moving forward into new things in Him, the reality is, and I've said it numerous times, there is no such thing as neutrality in the spirit realm. I'm either going forward or I'm reverting back. Now here's the thing we need to understand. We say, well, preacher, I don't do the things I used to do. Maybe not. Maybe you don't live like you used to live in the sense of some of your behaviors. But if I'm not careful, I can fall back into mindsets that even though my behavior isn't what it used to be, my mindset is akin to what I used to be and how I used to think. And so though the behavior may not be there anymore, and let me give you a case in point. There are, and you just have to excuse me if you have to pull your toes up under the pew, but just because I'm coming to church doesn't mean I'm growing in God. Just because I'm coming and sitting in a pew and going through the motions does not mean I'm transitioning forward. Matter of fact, I can start becoming callous and complacent in my walk in relationship with God. And I can feel like I'm okay and there's no reason to grow. There's no reason to transition into new things in God. And if I'm not careful, catch this, my mindset will be just like it was in the world. Because in the world, I thought, I don't need to change. I don't need to do anything different. I don't need to live for God. I don't need religion. I don't need all those things. And even though my behavior may not mirror what it used to be, my mindset starts mirroring. And I think there's no reason for change. There's no reason for me to do anything different. I can just continue as I am. But what does not transition forward stagnates and reverts back. Transitions are a requirement, not just for living, but for really thriving. We're going to transition. For some, it's more obvious than others. We're going to transition. There's going to be stages in life. Nature will inevitably take its course. My daughter, Kinsey, she complains quite a bit. And I remember as a child, we don't have this issue with Austin and Landon much, but Kinsey all the time has growing pains. Just pains that she has in her legs because I know what's happening. I know she's growing and her body is experiencing some pain as a result of that growth. And we know this in the natural. We know as much as we would like to stop it, the aging process goes forward. And we will all transition at some point in time, if we haven't already, from young into old. We will. Many times people transition from fit to, you know. Nature inevitably takes its course and we will do those things. And those transitions will happen in our life. Because that's what happens naturally. But not only happen now, but personally, in our own personal lives, we need to learn how to transition. We need to learn how to not just live, not go through the motions, not just fill time and space, but we need to learn how to personally thrive where we can move from one dimension to another. You say, well, I'm too old for all that stuff. No, you're not. As long as you're living, as long as there's breath in your body, you have the ability to transition. You have the ability to find new areas and new dimensions. And yes, you do. And it's saying that trying to offer up an excuse is simply saying, I'd rather be where I'm at. I don't have the faith to believe that there's something better that can be. And so I'll remain where I am. And what is, is. And if we're not careful, that kind of complacency will keep us from doing anything and being anything and exercising our potential in God. Transitioning requires the necessary ending of what is to become what can be. I'll say that again. Transition requires the necessary ending of what is in order for it to become what can be. These necessary endings must happen if we are to reach ahead to greater goals and experience our potential. The good begins where the bad ends. And if I learn how to experience these transitions and I learn how to accept the fact that sometimes necessary endings are exactly that, necessary. I gotta stop this in order for this to happen. The bad has to stop so the good can begin. Now, some of us are not too far removed from our coming to God. And I dare say that many of us can look back in our own lives and think about that point that we decided things have to change. Essentially, it's beginning of what we term the New Testament message, the gospel. Repentance is essentially the transition. Repentance is the understanding that I have to stop the bad in order for the good to begin. And I can't cease, and I can't stop that bad on my own. I can only do that through the power and help of God. And God is going to empower me to transition from what is to what can be. And how many people have looked back over their life and said, man, I wish I'd have made that decision sooner. I wish that I would have seen the need for the transition long before I actually experienced or I actually let go of what was so I could acquire what could be. These necessary endings, the stopping of the bad in order for the good to take place. And when we don't transition and make the necessary endings, here's what happens. We become stuck, we flounder, and sometimes even remain in destructive situations. Let me just be plain. There are some people who remain in destructive situations and even some in destructive relationships because they haven't brought themselves to a place where they realize it's got to end. It's got to stop. And these necessary endings in life, these points that we get to where we realize it's got to stop. Sometimes it's trying to help people to grow in God and transition into good things. Sometimes I tell them, listen, some of those relationships that you have, there's a necessary ending that has to take place. There's an attachment and connection with some things that in order for you to grow and transition into what God wants for you, you've got to be willing to put an end to that. You've got to be willing to cut those ties that still bind you to former things and a former life. And you've got to be willing to transition into what God has for you. And so these necessary endings, if we do not make them, we become stuck. We flounder. Sometimes even remain in destructive and damaging situations. And let me just say it from this standpoint. How many cases of abuse are continuing because the one that's being abused hasn't come to the point where there's a necessary ending that's got to take place? And they haven't reached that point of decision in their life where the bad stops now so the good can begin. That necessary ending that has to take place. So why do we avoid the endings? If we realize in our wanting to experience good things and wanting to grow, and if we realize that these necessary endings must take place, why then do we avoid the endings? Why then do we find it so hard to put a stop to the bad? if we know the good will begin, or if we even have the faith to believe that somehow, some way, the good's going to begin when the bad stops, why then do we avoid the endings? Why then do we fail to perform the ending? Well, maybe these are some reasons. Maybe we hang on too long because we think it might be fixable. I can fix it. I can correct it. It'll change. And we keep telling ourselves it'll change. Things will be better. It'll fix. It's just job's going to get better. The finances are going to get better. It's just. You know what they say the definition of insanity is? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And sometimes people avoid necessary endings in their life because they think somehow, some way, it's just going to fix. And people will not awaken to the reality that you got to end it. You got to stop it. In order for the good to begin, the bad's got to end. I can't expect my finances to work out if my bad spending habits remain. Man, it got quiet on that one. I can't expect to have a better walking relationship with God if I manage my time unwisely. So what I've got to do is decide there's got to be a change. I've got to change some things. I'm just not going to wake up magically one day and have a prayer life. It's not going to happen that way. I've got to stop the things that are stealing the time. And I've got to decide that the prayer and the walk and relationship with God and my devotion with Him matters more than some of these other things that I'm doing that are just filling up time and taking up space, if you will. And so I've got to end those things. Those things have to stop in order for the good to begin. We avoid confrontation and are afraid we don't know how to execute the ending. Oh, how many times I don't know how to do it. I don't know what words to say. I don't know how to go about ending it. And so sometimes we remain where we should not be. In situations that should no longer exist in our lives because we don't know how to execute the ending. I know it needs to end, and I want it to end. I want things to be done. I want the good to begin, and I want the bad to end, but I just don't know how to execute the ending. I don't know how to perform that necessary ending. I know it needs to happen. And here's the thing. Many times in our pride, we won't get counsel. We won't go to people, and we won't sit down and say, help me. I know this thing has to end. How can I end it? Help me end it. And our pride keeps us just dealing with it and thinking that we'll one day fix it, and we keep holding on to it. Even while God is leading us, and maybe sometimes the preaching is leading, you got to stop it. You got to end it. We're afraid of letting go in the unknown of the end result. I just don't know what's going to happen if I do this. I just don't know how I'm going to end up. I've got to have the faith to believe that what can be is going to be better than what is. And that faith has to get me, and it has to facilitate the transition so that the bad ends so the good can begin. We are not happy with what is, but we fail to really believe that what can be is better. We're not happy. I'm not happy with what I'm doing. I'm not happy with the person I've become. I was talking with someone the other day, and I reflected. God opened the door, and I just spoke into his life a little bit. And I said, man, the person that I interacted with 6 weeks ago is not the person that I'm interacting with today. What's happening? He readily admitted, I don't like the person I've become and what I'm doing and how I'm living. Well, then you got to change. You've got to transition. You got to stop doing those things. And his man talked about, well, so-and-so does this for me and does that. And I said, listen, what you need to understand is just because it's good to you doesn't mean it's good for you. And so sometimes those necessary endings have to take place. where I realize God is calling me into a newer dimension. God is calling me into a greater walk in relationship with Him. And in order for me to progress, in order for me to reach that potential, in order for me to grab on to those greater things that are ahead, I've got to forget the things which are behind. I got to let go of those things. I've got to put them away. I've got to make the necessary endings in my life. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands or anybody to recall their experience, but can you think of a personal experience where you should have ended something but kept holding on to your own detriment? I know I can. I just kept holding on. Kept believing things were going to change. It can be fixable, but it didn't. Way on down the line, I realized, man, I should have ended that thing a long, long time ago. And I'm still dealing with some of the detrimental and the collateral damage that happened because I didn't make the necessary ending that should have happened a long, long time ago. Look at 1 Corinthians 13, 11. Apostle Paul speaking. So when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, when I grew up, when I got my big boy pants on, I put away childish things. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, some things had to change. And how I became a man is I put away childish things. Now, let's think about this. I know it's a spiritual application, but let's think about it from a secular sense. Some of society's ills, even today, stem from an inability to transition through necessary endings. I'm going to pick on us men for a while. That's why I've heard more than one wife complain. Well, if he could ever get off the Xbox, this man's in his 30s and 40s. And things aren't getting done around the house because he hasn't learned how to put away childish things. Oh, no, I know I'm preaching now. The failure, the whole failure to launch syndrome where people's in their 20s and 30s are still living with mom and dad. And please understand, I'm not condemning that. I'm just simply saying that some of society's ills stem from an inability to transition. We don't really have, and it's unfortunate, we really don't have anything in our society that it shows a true transition from a boy to a man. They experience it naturally. They experience it anatomically and physiologically. They experience the transition, but mentally sometimes. Now I'm about to start preaching. They haven't learned how to do what the Apostle Paul said. When I became a man, I put away childish things. They haven't learned how to transition. They haven't experienced those necessary endings in life. And so we got grown adults getting in fights over T-ball games because they're living vicariously through their kids. And I want to say, how dumb can you be? Grow up. Put away childish things. It's T-ball for the Lord's sake. Let them have fun and enjoy life. Quit trying to live vicariously through your children. Grow up. Put away childish. Transition. You're an adult now. But we have so many adults still trying to live in their teenage years. They haven't transitioned. They haven't put away childish things and grown up as they should. Because here's the thing, when we are unable to transition, we then enable damaging behavior. Say that again. When we are unable to transition, we then enable damaging behavior. Now, let me tell you what needs to happen. A lot of mommies and daddies need to have enough wisdom and understanding that it's time to kick them out of the nest and say, grow up. Transition. You're an adult. Be an adult. I know. But some of society's ills that we are dealing with today result from an inability to transition. And we're not teaching boys how to become men. And we're not truly teaching little girls what it means to become a woman. And they're trying to navigate this transition on their own. They're trying to navigate this transition according to what society says is normal. And society's normal is so far away from God's view of normal that we see the result. See, learning to transition and perform necessary endings will help me deal with life when endings are forced upon me. See, here's a huge one. Because there's some times in life where endings are going to be forced upon me. And there's some people that have. Now, I'm not saying that those forced endings are going to be easy to deal with. What I'm saying is if we learn how to make necessary endings, when those forced endings in life, when we experience tragedy, the loss of a loved one, when we experience calamity in our life, house burns down, something major happens in our life, and we've learned how to make transitions, then those transitions that are forced upon us, the sense of a relationship disintegration. Because, let's just face it, there's some times where one party wants the relationship to work and the other party doesn't. Whether it's a friendship or a marriage, all of a sudden this relationship that at one time seemed to be growing and thriving and going, all of a sudden it's forced upon us and we have to deal with life as that other individual decides they no longer want to be attached to us, and then we've got to deal with that transition. Or what about things like a chronic illness? All of a sudden, it's a forced transition. I know I said for better or for worse, but I didn't realize this was the worse. Catch it? Or all of a sudden, I was fit and fancy free and had a great life, but all of a sudden something happened and now I'm no longer have the ability that I used to have, or maybe some disability strikes and now I'm dealing with not being able to make the money I used to be able to make, support my family. And so how do I deal with these transitions that are forced upon me? If I've never learned how to transition, I've never dealt with some necessary endings in my life, then these endings that are forced upon me are going to be major, major, major. But if I learn how to deal with some necessary endings, then those endings that are forced upon me, sometimes I'm able to navigate those a little better. What about a job change? All of a sudden, company's downsizing. All of a sudden, this career I thought that I had was thriving and everything was all of a sudden no longer there. All of a sudden now I got to get back out into the resume world and start submitting resumes and know how to sit through an interview and all those things. And now this transition is forced upon me. Relocation. Got to go take care of a family member. I got to move somewhere. A job moves me. I got to relocate and find different friends and do different things. And now this transition is forced upon me. And how am I going to be able to deal with this transition? And if I haven't learned how to navigate some necessary endings in my life, these forced endings in my life are going to have a major, major effect upon me. See, it's all about this. Good begins where bad ends. When transition is done well, seasons are better negotiated, and the proper ending of bad things will begin good things. I'm not saying transitions are easy. I'm not saying that it's always easy to navigate. What I'm simply saying is that when we perform those necessary endings, when we find those areas in our life that have to stop, the bad has to end so the good can begin. Sometimes when I don't even realize that I'm in what I'm doing and repeating the same things over and over again and not transitioning and not moving forward, I enable this damaging behavior that I somewhat become a complacent in, and I just remain there, and it's just like, well, I'm just always going to be this. And one of the things that I don't understand sometimes, and when I see people who are, and please. Please understand my heart in this. I'm not trying to be condescending in any way, shape, or form. But when I see people who are content just to dwell and not have any aspirations of advancement in life, and they really don't ever care to transition or break out of the cycle that has been a part of their family for generation after generation, I think to myself, my God, how do you become content with that? How does that become where you're okay with just going through the motions and no legacy was left to you, so you're okay with not leaving a legacy to those behind you? I don't get that. And until we learn that some necessary endings have to take place, and I've got to sometimes pick myself up and say, okay, if it's going to end, I got to end it. If the cycle's going to stop, it needs to stop with me. How many success stories can you recall where people have admitted in an interview, I came to the place where I decided it had to stop. I couldn't continue living like this. I wasn't going to take my kids through this anymore. And I decided right then and there that things were going to change. And the moment I made that decision, it wasn't like everything worked out. It wasn't like all of a sudden I had this windfall. No, but a mindset made me change. And I began from that point. And the good began from that point. And now I'm a success story. And now I can leave something to my kids. And now my kids don't have to live the life that I lived. Because I decided a necessary ending had to take place. And I'm stopping the cycle. Learning to transition will have us growing and keep us from repeating the same mistakes. When I learn to transition, when I learn to put an end to the bad so that the good can begin, guess what? I'm going to grow. Is it always going to be comfortable? Is it always? No. Matter of fact, transitions sometimes are very uncomfortable and awkward. But once I finally get past that initial stage of awkwardness and uncomfortability, I realize, man, I should have done that a long time ago. I couldn't believe that I kept myself and remained in that damaging behavior. And I remained where I should have ended that a long time ago. I would be so much better off now if I'd have done what should have been done years ago. These necessary endings of transition will reveal the good in letting bad things go. Reveal the good in letting bad things go. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, reach forward to the things that are before. I press toward the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, I'm transitioning. I'm moving forward. I'm letting go of those things which are behind. I'm putting away childish things. I'm making some necessary endings. And next week, the Lord willing, we're going to talk about necessary pruning. Getting rid of those things. Maybe you know this. Do you know why a rose plant is pruned? Do you know that all the buds, if all the buds were allowed to just grow, the plant would die because it can't sustain all the buds? And so some pruning has to take place? It's no different. How many times people say, well, I got too many irons in the fire. Just got too much going on. Well, maybe there's some necessary endings that have to take place. Maybe there's some pruning that has to take place. I'm just going to be stuck in this always shuffling from one to the other. Always, I feel like I'm on a treadmill of life where I'm just running and running and running and I'm not getting anywhere. Well, maybe that's a great indication that some necessary endings need to take place. The transition needs to happen. I got to transition from this always doing and going, but not really feeling like I'm making any progress or going anywhere. I got to end that. I got to stop that. I got to quit the bad. Stop the bad so the good can begin. Lord Jesus, I thank you. Your word reveals and helps us understand, God, that you desire that we would be changed from glory to glory, that we would transition, God, that we would allow you to change us through the power of your Spirit, Lord, to know how to grow and mature in you, or not become complacent and stagnant in our current state, but desire to mature in you, God, to find new things, God, to be a people that believe in the power of you working in us to change us and to help us be better. Lord, that we would have the faith to believe that what can be is so much better than what is, and that if we would allow your Spirit to lead us and guide us as we transition, God, as we allow you, God, to do your work in us and through us, we will become better, God, in all aspects of life. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in Jesus' name we ask. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go in the precious name of Jesus.